వక్రతుండ మహాకాయ సూర్యకోటి సభప్రభా నిర్విఘ్నం కురు మే దేవ సర్వకార్యషు సర్వదా శివశక్త్యాయుక్తో యది భవతి శక్తః ప్రభవితుం న చేదేవం దేవో న ఖలు కుశలః స్పందితుమపి అతస్త్వామారాధ్యా హరిహర విరించాదిభిరపి ప్రణంతుం స్తోతుం వా కతమకృత పుణ్యః ప్రభవతి.
Om Shri Sai Ram. My most loving and prayerful salutations at the divine lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagwan, Shri Satya Sai Baba. Dear listener, you are tuned to Radio Sai Global Harmony on Asia Stream, bringing you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the love and the message of Bhagwan, Shri Satya Sai Baba. Good morning. Greetings and loving Sai Ram from Prashanthinilayam, and with me Team Radio Sai Sunil welcoming you to this morning segment Divine Glory on Thursday Live from Prashanthinilayam. Today is the 10th of October 2019 and here in Prashanthinilayam, the week-long Veda Purusha Saptaha Gnana Yajna and the Prashanti Vidwan Mahasabha as part of Dasara celebrations just concluded on Tuesday, and hope you were all connected to the events that went during the last 1 week. And for those of you who missed to watch these videos can catch it again on our Radio Sai's YouTube channel. Let me now read out to you today's Sai Inspires message. Every episode mentioned in the epics have a subtle inner meaning. Bhagwan today lovingly explains the inner significance of one such story, and I quote, "The story of Rukmini Kalyana is not simply the story of a marriage. It is the union of Purusha or the Supreme Spirit with Prakriti or the creation or the objective world. Rukmini is the individual self or Jiva, and Krishna is the Supreme Self or Paramatma. Rukmini suffered from the rules and restrictions imposed by the objective world. Egoism is her brother and worldliness is her father. Just think of this fact. Rukmini never met Krishna before. Her soul yearned for the Lord intensely. With earnest good conduct, she sought refuge in God. Her parents, brother and all relatives objected. But every individual is born to work out their destiny, not to act a role in someone else's drama. Each one is born to serve their own sentence, and in the end, they are free. Nobody remains in prison on the context that a dear comrade is still in. Rukmini's prayers, repentance, yearning and steadfastness were amply rewarded and the Lord rushed to accept her." Unquote. This was taken from a divine discourse delivered by Bhagwan on October 28, 1963. Dear listener, the time right now in our studios is 45 minutes past 9 a.m. That is Indian Standard Time. And today in Divine Glory, I've lined up for you readings from the English version of the holy book, Sri Sai Satcharitra, written by Sri Hema Pant, followed by the second and the concluding part of a conversation with Professor Mrs. Hemalata, the former principal of the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, Anantapur campus. In conversation with her is Dr. Rajeshwari Patel. But first, readings from Sri Sai Satcharitra. Sri Sai Satcharitra is an account on the life and teachings of Sai Baba of Shirdi, written by Sri Hema Pant. We are thankful to Vasanthi Sundaram for reading out the contents from this holy book and to Veeramani Kannan for the melodious musical support. Wishing you all a holy and blessed Thursday and a wonderful day ahead. And here it is for your listening pleasure.
Chapter 15, Naradiya Kirtan Paddhati, Mr. Cholkar's Sugarless Tea, Two Lizards. The readers may remember that mention was made in the 6th chapter regarding the Ram Navami festival in Shirdi, how the festival originated and how in the early years there was great difficulty in getting a good Haridas for doing Kirtan on those occasions, and how Baba permanently entrusted this function to Dasganu, and how he has been doing it successfully ever since. In this chapter, we shall describe the manner in which Dasganu has been doing the Kirtan. Naradiya Kirtan Paddhati. Generally, our Haridas, while doing the Kirtan, wear a gala and a full dress. They put on a headdress, either of heta or a turban, a long flowing coat with a shirt inside, an uparani on the shoulders and the usual dhotar from the waist below. After dressing himself in this fashion for some kirtan in the Shirdi village, Dasganu once went to Baba for prostrating before him. Baba asked him, "Well, bridegroom, where are you going dressed so beautifully like this?" "For doing a kirtan," came the reply. Then Baba said, "Why all the show, coat, uparani, feta? Lay off all that before me. Why wear them on the body?" Dasganu immediately took them off and placed them at Baba's feet. Thenceforth, Dasganu never wore these things while doing the kirtan. He was always bare from waist upwards. A pair of chiplis was in his hand and a garland around his neck. This is not in consonance with the practice generally followed by all the Haridas, but this is the best and the purest method. The sage Narada, from whom the Kirtan Paddhati originated, wore nothing on his torso and head. He carried a veena in his hand and wandered from place to place singing the glory of the Lord. Mr. Cholkar's Sugarless Tea. Initially, Baba was known in Pune and Ahmednagar districts, but Nana Sahib Chandorkar, by his word of mouth, and Dasganu, by his splendid kirtans, spread the fame of Baba in the Konkan. In fact, it was Dasganu, may God bless him, who by his beautiful and inimitable kirtans made Baba available to so many people there. The audience who come to hear the kirtans have different tastes. Some like the erudition or learning of the Haridas, some is gesture, some is singing, some his wit and humor, some is preliminary dissertation on Vedanta, and some his main theme, and so on. But among them, there are very few who by hearing the kirtan get faith and devotion or love for God or saints. The effect of hearing Dasganu's kirtans on the minds of audience was, however, electric, as it were. We give an instance here. Dasganu was once doing his kirtan and singing the glory of Sai Baba in the Kaupineshwar temple in Thane. One Mr. Cholkar, a poor man, serving as a temporary employee in the civil courts in Thane, was amongst the audience. He heard Dasganu's kirtan most attentively and was much moved. There and then, he mentally bowed and vowed to Baba, saying, "Baba, I am a poor man, unable to support my family. If by your grace I pass a departmental examination and get a permanent post, I shall go to Shirdi, fall at your feet and distribute sugar candy in your name. As luck would have it, Mr. Cholkar did pass the examination and did get the permanent post. And now it remained for him to fulfill his vow. The sooner, the better. Mr. Cholkar was a poor man with a large family to support, and he could not afford to pay for the expenses of a Shirdi trip. As is well said, one can easily cross over Nani Ghat and Thana district or even the Sahyadri range, but it is very difficult for a poor man to cross the Ambar Ghat, the threshold of his own house. As Mr. Cholkar was anxious to fulfill his vow as early as possible, he resolved to cut down his expenses and save money. He decided not to use sugar in his diet and began to take his tea without it. After he was able to save some money in this way, he came to Shirdi, took Baba's darshan, fell at his feet, offered a coconut and distributed it with a clean conscience along with sugar candy. He said to Baba that he was much pleased with his darshan and that his desires were fulfilled that day. Mr. Cholkar was in the masjid with his host Bapu Sahib Joe. When the host and the guest both got up and were about to leave the masjid, Baba spoke to Joe as follows: "Give your guest a cup of tea fully saturated with sugar." Hearing these significant words, Mr. Cholkar was much moved. He was wonder struck. His eyes were filled with tears and he fell at Baba's feet again. Mr. Joe was also curious about this direction. Baba wanted, by his words, to create faith and devotion in Cholkar's mind. He hinted, as it were, that he got the sugar candy as per his vow and that he knew fully well his secret determination not to use sugar in his diet. Baba meant to say, "If you spread your palms with devotion before me, I am immediately with you day and night. Though I am here physically, still I know what you do beyond the seven seas. Go wherever you wish over the wide world. I am with you. My abode is in your heart and I am within you. Always worship me who is seated in your heart as well as in the hearts of all beings. Blessed and fortunate indeed is he who knows me thus." What a beautiful and important lesson Baba had thus imparted to Mr. Cholkar. Two Lizards. Now, we close this chapter with a story of two little lizards. Once Baba was sitting in the masjid. A devotee sat in front of him when a lizard tick-ticked. Out of curiosity, the devotee asked Baba whether this tick-ticking of the lizard signified anything good or was it a bad omen. Baba said the lizard was overjoyed as her sister from Aurangabad was coming to see her. The devotee sat silent, not making out the meaning of Baba's words. Immediately, a gentleman from Aurangabad came on horseback to see Baba. He wanted to proceed further, but his horse would not go as it was hungry and wanted grams. He took out a bag of grams from his shoulders and dashed it to the ground to remove the dirt. A lizard came out from there and in the presence of all climbed up the wall. Baba asked the questioner devotee to mark that well. The lizard at once went strutting to her sister. Both sisters met each other after a long time, kissed and embraced each other, whirled around and danced with love. Where is Shirdi and where is Aurangabad for the lizard? How should the man on horseback come there from Aurangabad with the lizard? And how should Baba make the prophecy of the meeting of the two sisters? All this is really very wonderful and proves the omniscience, the all-knowing nature of Baba. Postscript. He who respectfully reads this chapter or studies it daily will get all his miseries removed by the grace of the Sadguru Sai Baba. Bow Sri Sai. Peace be to all. Chapter 16 and 17. Quick Brahma Gyan. These two chapters relate the story of a rich gentleman who wanted Brahma Gyan quickly from Sai Baba. Preliminary. The last chapter described how Mr. Cholkar's vow of small offering was completed and accepted. In that story, Sai Baba showed he would accept with appreciation any small thing offered with love and devotion. But if the same thing was offered with pride and haughtiness, he would reject it. Being himself full of Sai Chit Anand, pure consciousness, knowledge and bliss, he did not care much for mere outward formalities. But if an offering was made in a modest and humble spirit, the same was welcome and he accepted it with pleasure and avidity. In fact, there is no person more generous and benevolent than a Sadguru like Sai Baba. He cannot be compared to the Chintamani Jewel, the Kalpatru or the Kamadenu. They give us only what we desire. But the Sadguru gives us a most precious thing that is inconceivable and inscrutable. Now let us hear how Sai Baba disposed of a rich man who came to him and implored him to give him Brahma Gyan. There was a rich gentleman. Unfortunately, his name and whereabouts are not mentioned. He was very prosperous in his life. He had amassed a large quantity of wealth, houses and lands, and had many servants and dependents. When Baba's fame reached his ears, he said to a friend of his that he was not in want of anything, and so he would go to Shirdi and ask Baba to give him Brahma Gyan, which if he got, would certainly make him more happy. His friend dissuaded him, saying, "It is not so easy to know Brahma, and especially for an avaricious man like you, who is always engrossed in wealth, wife and children. Who will in your quest of Brahma Gyan satisfy you, who does not give away even a paisa in charity?" Not minding his friend's advice, the fellow engaged a return journey and came to Shirdi. He went to the masjid, saw Sai Baba, fell at his feet and said, "Baba, hearing that you show the Brahma to all who come to you, I too have come here all the way from my distant place. I am much fatigued by the journey, and if I get the Brahma Gyan from you, my troubles will be well paid and rewarded." Baba then replied, "Oh my dear friend, do not be anxious. I shall show you the Brahma. Many people come to me and ask for wealth, health, power, honor, position, cure of diseases and other temporal matters. Rare is the person who comes to me and asks for Brahma Gyan. There is no dearth of persons asking for worldly things, but persons interested in spiritual matters are very rare. I think it is a fortunate and auspicious moment when persons like you come and ask me for Brahma Gyan. So forthwith, I show to you with pleasure the Brahma with all its accompaniments and complexities." Saying this, Baba started to show him the Brahma. He made him sit there and engaged him in some talk and thus made him forget his question for the time being. Then he called a boy and told him to go to one Nandu Marwadi and get from him a loan of 5 rupees. The boy left and returned immediately, saying that Nandu was absent and his house was locked. Then Baba asked him to go to Bala Grocer and get from him the said loan. This time too the boy was unsuccessful. The experiment was repeated again twice or thrice with the same result. Sai Baba was, as we know, the living and moving Brahma incarnate. Then someone may ask, why did he want the paltry sum of 5 rupees and why did he try hard to get it? Really, he did not want the sum at all. He must have been fully knowing that Nandu and Bala were absent, and he seemed to have adopted this procedure as a test for the seeker of Brahma. That gentleman had a roll or bundle of currency notes in his pocket, and if he was really earnest, he would not have sat quiet and been a mere onlooker when Baba was frantically trying to get a paltry sum of 5 rupees. He knew that Baba would keep his word and repay the debt, and that the sum wanted was insignificant. Still, he could not make up his mind and advance the sum. Such a man wanted from Baba the greatest thing in the world, the Brahma Gyan. Any other man who really loved Baba would have given him 5 rupees at once instead of being a mere onlooker. It was otherwise with this man. He advanced no money, nor did he sit silent, but began to be impatient as he was in a haste to return and implored Baba, saying, "Oh Baba, please give me the Brahma Gyan soon." Baba replied, "Oh my dear friend, did you not understand all the procedure that I went through, sitting in this place, for enabling you to see the Brahma? It is in short this, for seeing Brahma, one has to get 5 things, that is surrender 5 things of 5 pranas, 5 senses, mind, intellect and ego. This path of Brahma Gyan or self-realization is as hard as to tread on the edge of a razor." Sai Baba then gave a long discourse on the subject, the essence of which is given below. Qualifications for Brahma Gyan or self-realization. All persons do not see or realize the Brahma in their lifetime. Certain qualifications are absolutely necessary. Moksha, or intense desire to get free. He who thinks that he is bound and that he should get free from bondage and works earnestly and resolutely to that end and does not care for any other thing is qualified for the spiritual life. Second, virakti, or a feeling of non-attachment with the things of this world and the next. Unless a man feels disgusted with the things, emoluments and honors which his actions would bring in this world and the next, he has no right to enter into the spiritual realm. Third, antarmukh, introversion. Our senses have been created by God with a tendency to move outward, and so man always looks outward and not inward. He who wants self-realization and immortal life must turn his gaze inwards and look to his inner self. Catharsis, which is eliminating all base ideas and emotions. Unless a man has turned away from wickedness and stopped from doing wrong and has entirely composed himself, and unless his mind is at rest, he cannot gain self-realization even by means of knowledge. Fifth, right conduct. Unless a man leads a life of truth, penance and insight, a life of celibacy, he cannot get God realization. Sixth, preferring Shreyas to prayers. These are 2 sorts of things, namely the good and the pleasant. The former deals with spiritual affairs and the latter with mundane matters. Both these are open to man for acceptance. He has to think and choose one of them. The wise man prefers the good to the pleasant, but the unwise, through greed and attachment, chooses the pleasant. Seventh, control of the mind and the senses. The body is the chariot and the self is its master. Intellect is a charioteer and the mind is its reins. The senses are the horses and the sense objects are their parts. He who has no understanding and whose mind is unrestrained has his senses unmanageable like the stray horse of a charioteer. It does not reach its destination, but goes through the round of births and deaths. But he who has understanding and whose mind is restrained has his senses under control. Like the good obedient horse of a charioteer, it reaches its destination. That is a state of self-realization when he is not born again. The man who has understanding of his charioteer and is able to rein his mind reaches the end of his journey, which is the supreme abode of all-pervading Lord Vishnu. Eighth, purification of the mind. Unless a man discharges satisfactorily and disinterestedly the duties of his station in life, his mind will not be purified. And unless his mind is purified, he cannot get self-realization. It is only in the purified mind that vivek or disattachment to the unreal crops up and leads on to self-realization. Unless egoism is dropped, avarice is got rid of, and the mind is made desireless, self-realization is not possible. The idea that I am the body is a great delusion, and attachment to this idea is a cause of bondage. Leave off this idea and attachment, therefore, if you want to reach the goal of self-realization. Ninth, the necessity of a guru. The knowledge of the self is so subtle and mystic that no one could, by his own individual effort, ever hope to attain it. So the help of another person, a teacher, who has himself got self-realization, is absolutely necessary. What others cannot give with great effort and pain can be easily gained with the help of such a teacher, for he has walked on the path himself and can easily take the disciple step by step on the ladder of spiritual progress. 10th, lastly, the Lord's grace is the most essential thing. When the Lord is pleased with anybody, he gives him vivek and vairagya and takes him safe beyond the ocean of mundane existence. The self cannot be gained by the study of Vedas, nor by intellect, nor by learning. He whom the self chooses gains it. To him the self reveals its nature, says the Katha Upanishad. After the dissertation was over, Baba turned to the gentleman and said, "Well, sir, there is in your pocket the Brahma in form of 50 times of 5 rupees. Please take that out." The gentleman took out from his pocket the bundle of currency notes and, to his great surprise, found on counting them that there were 25 notes of 10 rupees each. Seeing this omniscience of Baba, he was moved and fell at Baba's feet and craved for his blessings. Then Baba said to him, "Roll up your bundle of Brahma, namely the currency notes. Unless you completely get rid of your avarice or greed, you will not get the real Brahma. How can he whose mind is engrossed in wealth, progeny and prosperity expect to know the Brahma without removing his attachment for them? The illusion of attachment or the love for money is a deep, eddy whirlpool of pain, full of crocodiles in the form of conceit and jealousy. He who is desireless can alone cross this whirlpool. Greed and Brahma are asunder as poles. They are eternally opposed to each other. Where there is greed, there is no room for thought or meditation of the Brahma. Then how can a greedy man get this passion and salvation? For a greedy man, there is no peace, neither contentment nor steadiness. If there be even a little trace of greed in the mind, all the sadhanas are of no avail. Even the knowledge of a well-read man who is not free from the desire of the fruit or reward of his actions is futile and cannot help him in getting self-realization. The teachings of a guru are of no use to a man who is full of egoism and who always thinks about the sense objects. Purification of mind is absolutely necessary. Without it, all our spiritual endeavors are nothing but useless show and pomp. It is therefore better for one to take only what he can digest and assimilate. My treasury is full, and I can give anyone what he wants, but I have to see whether he is qualified to receive my gift. If you listen to me carefully, you will certainly be benefited. While sitting in this masjid, I never speak any untruth." When a guest is invited to a house, all the members of the household and other friends and relations that happen to be present are entertained along with the guest. So all those that were present in the masjid at that time could partake of the spiritual feast that was served by Baba for the rich gentleman. After getting Baba's blessings, one and all, including the gentleman, left the place quite happy and contented. There are many saints who, leaving their houses, stay in forest, caves or hermitages and in solitude in order to get liberation or salvation for themselves. They do not care for other people and are always self-absorbed. Sai Baba was not such a type. He had no home, no wife, no progeny, nor any relations near or distant. Still, he lived in the world. He begged his bread from 4 or 5 houses, always lived at the foot of the neem tree, carried on worldly dealings and taught all the people how to act and behave living in this world. Rare are the sadhus and saints who, after attaining God vision, strive for the welfare of the people. Sai Baba was the foremost of these, and therefore, says Hemad Pant, "Blessed is the country, blessed is the family, and blessed are the chaste parents, where this extraordinary, transcendent, precious and pure jewel, Sai Baba, was born." Bow to Sri Sai. Peace be to all. Chapter 18 and 19. how Hemad Pant was accepted and blessed, stories of Mr. Sathe and Mrs. Deshmukh, encouraging good thoughts to fruition, variety in Upadesh, teachings regarding slander, and remuneration for labor. In the last two chapters, Hemad Pant described how a rich gentleman aspiring for quick Brahma Gyan was treated by Baba. Now, in these two chapters, he describes how Hemad Pant himself was accepted and blessed by Baba, how Baba encouraged good thoughts and fructified them, and his teachings regarding self-improvement, slander, and remuneration for labor. Preliminary. It is a well-known fact that the Sadguru looks first to the qualifications of his disciples and then gives them suitable instructions. Without unsettling their minds in the least, he leads them on towards the goal of self-realization. In this respect, some say that what the Sadguru teaches or instructs should not be divulged to others. They think that the instructions become useless if they are published. This view is not correct. The Sadguru is like a monsoon cloud. He pours down profusely and scatters widely his nectar-like teachings. These we should enjoy and assimilate to our heart's content and then serve others with them without any reservation. This rule should apply not only to what he teaches in our waking state, but to the visions he gives us in our dreams. To quote an instance, Buddha Kaushik Rishi published his celebrated Ram Raksha Stotra, which he had seen in his dream. Like a loving mother forcing bitter but beneficial medicines down the throats of her children for the sake of their health, Sai Baba imparted spiritual instructions to his devotees. His method was not veiled or secret, but quite open. The devotees who followed his instructions got their object. Sadgurus like Sai Baba open our intellect and show us the divine beauty of the self and fulfill our tender longings of devotion. When this is done, our desire for sense objects vanish. Twin fruits of Vivek and Vairagya come to our hands, and knowledge sprouts up even in the sleep. All this we get when we come in contact with saints and serve them and secure their love. The Lord who fulfills the desire of his devotees comes to our aid, removes our troubles and sufferings and makes us happy. This progress of development is entirely due to the help of the Sadguru, who is regarded as a Lord himself. Therefore, we should always be after the Sadguru, hear his stories, fall at his feet and serve him.
Guru Var Ki Paramanand Sadara Guru
to Sight.
Spend the day with Sight. From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sight Thursday Live.
Radio Sight Thursday Live.
You were principal for 25 years. In fact, you were the longest serving principal of Swami's college. So you must have had a rich experience during that quarter century. I'm sure our listeners would be delighted to hear about some of the lessons you learned from Bhagwan during that long tenure.
Yes. The lessons I learned, as I told you, are umpteen in number. At every step, I have been learning some lesson or the other from him. Throughout my entire career of 31 years in his institution, as a teacher and as an administrator, Bhagavan guided me through and through. In the earlier days, he gave me a direct helping hand in my endeavors, like a mother makes the child walk. Later, he was constantly watching and protecting, prompting at all times of need. Once during 1969, I had to face some critical comments and criticism from some staff members. Unable to take those baseless allegations at that inexperienced young age, I poured out my heart to Swami. The consoling words that Swami told me at that time gave me the strength to face any situation in the later period. He said, "If someone refers to me as Buttatala Baba, that is Baba with bushy hair, I take that those words belong to me. But if anyone refers to some Buttatala Baba, bald-headed Baba, why should I care for it?
It's obvious that he is not."
Yes. "Once I know that I am not Buttatala Baba, I ignore and their words rebounds on them," Swami said. He said, "In the same way, if you feel that someone's comments are truly applicable to you, think about it and consider them. But if you feel that those words are not true, you ignore." A great lesson till today. Simple. I remember these golden words.
Simple teaching.
Yes, simple teaching, but a great teaching.
Yes.
Such advices from the divinity helped me immensely in discharging my duties sincerely, without any bias or hatred. That is a very important thing. Though I used to get emotionally upset sometimes, it was a temporary phase.
You took strength from Swami's
yes.
words.
And he taught me to be very balanced.
Yes.
Which is an essential feature for an administrator.
Yes.
And a teacher. When things were very hurting beyond a limit, like a child, I used to inform Swami for my own consolation. The letters that Swami used to write to me in such situations, giving divine assurance, laid a very strong foundation for carrying out my duties boldly.
Could you share any one of your letters, ma'am?
Sure.
In which he has given you such advice?
I'll be happy to do that. Once, some public or parents who were not in agreement with the strict discipline of the college complained to Swami about certain things. Swami knows the truth. He wrote to me like this. I'll read out in Telugu his
yes.
that part.
So that we get to know his words, own words.
Yes. Ninnati dinamu, kondaru panileni bikarulu, orvaleni somberilu, లేని పని కల్పించుకొని ఇలాంటి జాబులు రాస్తుంటారు అని నాకు తెలుసు. తాము చేయరు, చేయువారలను నిరుత్సాహపరుతురు. మనలో అట్టి పొరపాట్లుండినా సరిచేసుకొనవచ్చును, కాని లేని వాటిని ఎవరేమన్నను లక్ష్యము చేయనక్కర్లేదు. కాన మీరు ఈ విషయంలో పిల్లలెవరైనా ఇచ్చిన రిపోర్టులేమైనా ఉండినా విచారించు. మన సక్రమమును మనము పాటించినా చాలును. వారలకై మన పద్ధతులు మార్చుకోనక్కర్లేదు. తప్పులేమైనా జరుగుచుండినా ఇకపై అట్టివి జరగకుండా చూసుకోండి. దిస్ ఇస్ ప్రిన్సిపల్ హేమలత. బ్లెస్సింగ్స్. ఐ హోప్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఈజ్ గోయింగ్ ఆన్ వెల్ దేర్. ఎస్టర్డే సమ్ లేజీ పీపుల్ రోట్ టు మీ ఎ లెటర్ అండ్ ఐఎమ్ షూర్ ఇట్ ఈస్ ఆల్ బేస్లెస్ కంప్లైంట్ యాజ్ దే డు నాట్ వాంట్ ఎనీ గుడ్ థింగ్స్ టు హ్యాపెన్. దే డోంట్ వర్క్ అండ్ ఎట్ ద సేమ్ టైమ్ డిస్కరేజ్ దోస్ హూ వర్క్ హార్డ్. యూ డోంట్ గెట్ డిస్టర్బ్డ్. We need not care for anyone as long as there is nothing wrong on our side. We need not change our procedures just because the others don't like it. If anything is going wrong by chance, rectify and see the mistakes do not happen. Blessings to all. Baba.
Wonderful.
On some other occasion, I felt hurt by the undesirable comments from some people. Remembering Swami's message, I was patient enough and did not react. I received a wonderful letter from Swami, which I kept as a guidepost throughout.
ఇందుకు విచారపడ అవసరము లేదు. కావాలని చేయువారలకు కారణాలుండవు కదా. కారణము లేని కర్మ కాలహరణమే కాగలదు. ఈ సమయమున నీవు స్వామి ఆజ్ఞననుసరించి సహనమును వహించుట సాయికెంతనో సంతసము. ఆధారములు లేని ఊహలకు అణుమాత్రమైనను నీవు విచారించకు. సాయికి సర్వము విదితము కాన హాయిగా నీ కర్తవ్యమును నీవు నిర్వర్తించు. నిజమునకు నిందలు రావచ్చును కాని అపకీర్తి రాదు. ఆలస్యమున అందరికీ సత్యము వ్యక్తమగును. నీవేమాత్రమును యోచించక, పరుల మాటలకు హృదయమున చోటివ్వక, వాటినొక పరిహాసముగా భావించి పనులు జరుపుకొనవలెను. నేను చూచుకొందును. కొంతకాలము వేచియుండినా అన్నీయునూ సరిపోవును. సత్యము సాయికి తెలిసిన చాలును. అదే హాయి. అవునా కాదా బాబా?
హేమలత. బ్లెస్సింగ్స్. ఐ కేమ్ టు నో ద థింగ్స్ దట్ హ్యాపెండ్. డు నాట్ వరీ. దేర్ నీడ్ నాట్ బి ఎనీ కాజ్ ఫర్ పీపుల్ హూ విల్లింగ్లీ వాంట్ టు హర్ట్ అదర్స్. ఎనీ యాక్షన్ వితౌట్ ఎ పర్పస్ ఆర్ కాజ్ ఈజ్ ఓన్లీ ఎ వేస్ట్ ఆఫ్ టైమ్. Swami is very happy to note that you are patient and tolerant on this occasion. Do not bother about others' baseless ideas and words. Swami knows everything. You do your duty happily. There may be temporary blames for the truth, but never comes a bad name. Truth will be revealed even if it is late. Do not take such things to heart, but ignore them and carry on your duty. I will take care of. Time solves all problems. It is enough if Swami knows the truth. Yes or no? Blessings, Baba.
What he said is true, ma'am, because some people, when they want to complain or find fault, they don't need any reason for it. They just,
yes.
So he has taken a very general, a particular situation and given a general teaching through that.
These letters really gave me a lot of strength.
Mm.
And I was remembering this.
And such letters and what you have shared with us, we are very fortunate to hear this, because actually it helps everyone in, you know.
Yes, it's not
in their own life
too. Personal thing to
yes,
me.
Yes, that's what I said. You've taken a particular situation in your life or whatever as an administrator and given you a very general teaching which is useful to everybody.
Yeah. And it's not only this. When I went wrong, Swami used to correct me too. Once a VIP recommended an unworthy case for admission.
Uh-huh.
As per Swami's command, I was always going according to rules laid down and therefore refused to oblige him. When he went on pressurizing, I too had to be a little curt. This matter was reported to Swami by that VIP. Swami called me and told me to stick to my decision, but at the same time advised me, speak obligingly even if you cannot oblige.
Yes.
Speak obligingly even if you cannot oblige. This taught me to be more patient and speak softly even in critical and crucial situations.
Yes.
Once I happened to witness one devotee telling Swami about his achievements. He said, "Swami, I am proud of this." Swami patted him and said, Bangaru, it's good. Let me tell you one thing. Be happy for your achievements, but never be proud of it. After all, you should know that it is God who is making you do good things. Pride brings downfall.
Mm.
What a wonderful message.
You heard it.
Yes, I heard Swami, this conversation between a devotee that has come to college and Swami. Once, I had one more lesson from Swami. I was saying something in reply to Swami's question. My voice was a little louder than it needed to be. Swami said, softly, softly. When we talk, it should be audible only to the person or persons that is intended to. Swami said like this.
Oh, so we should talk as soft or as loud as only how much the person who we are talking to can hear.
Yes. Such lessons are umpteen in numbers. So many. I'll tell you, Swami gives a lot of importance for doing our duty first. Duty, Swami, duty, devotion, discipline. These three things Swami gives a lot of importance. We had a picture
in the college
with Swami, and which says, duty is the medium of instruction in this college.
Mm.
Oh, what a great statement.
Yes.
In this regard, I'll tell you one thing. Once we invited Swami to inaugurate the Literary Association in the beginning years.
That is Telugu Literary
Association. Telugu Literary Association. Swami very kindly accepted our invitation. And he fixed a date for that. Suddenly, I had a letter from the university, that is Sri Venkateswara University, saying that my presence is required in the university for some official work.
So you had to go to Tirupati.
I had to go to Tirupati. Then I didn't know what to do. Swami was to come. The date was fixed and I wrote to Swami. Swami, this is like this. What do I do?
You were in a dilemma.
Yes. Whether to do the duty or to stay back, I was in a dilemma. Then Swami replied, saying, you go. I will come soon after you come. You inform me when you come back.
So he rescheduled his program.
Yes, he wrote a letter to me in this regard. Neevu Tirupati velli ravatsu. Neevu vachina tadupare nenu Anantapuram vattunu. నీవు ఏ తేదీ వత్తువో తెలిపినా రెండవ దినము వత్తును. సారస్వత సంఘము ప్రారంభింతును. ఇట్ ఈస్ వెరీ వెరీ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ హిమ్. ఐ రియల్లీ వాజ్ టేకెన్ ఎ బ్యాక్. సీ ఐ వాజ్
ద వెరీ నెక్స్ట్ డే ఆఫ్టర్ యూ రిటర్న్
ఐ విల్ కమ్. Yes. See, this is what he taught us, how to be duty minded.
Yes.
We should never fail to do our duty. And there are a few more lessons I learned from him. Many, many, of course. I remember one or two more, which are really, though simple, they are very significant. That was July 1971. The college new buildings were inaugurated. Naturally, after a massive program of construction of all these buildings, large quantities of stocks were remaining. Swami personally saw to it that most of the material was shifted to some two big rooms in the building and got them locked. Then he sent for me. He handed over the keys of those rooms along with the key of his room to me, saying that I will be in charge of these stores. I told you I was not having much experience at that time. I said, Swami, there is no stock register. Swami looked at me smilingly and said,
ఓ, స్టాక్ రిజిస్టరా? అందరి స్టాక్ రిజిస్టర్స్, అన్నింటి స్టాక్ రిజిస్టర్స్ నా దగ్గరే ఉన్నాయిలే. దట్ మీన్స్ హీ సెడ్, ద స్టాక్ రిజిస్టర్ ఆఫ్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ అండ్ ఎవ్రీ వన్ ఈజ్ విత్ మీ,
విత్ గాడ్.
విత్ గాడ్ ఐ జస్ట్ యాక్సెప్టెడ్ ద కీస్. అండ్ దెన్ హార్డ్లీ 1 month ఆఫ్టర్ దట్ స్వామి కేమ్ టు కాలేజ్. హీ కాల్డ్ మీ అండ్ టోల్డ్ మీ, హీ వాజ్ స్టాండింగ్ ఇన్ ద ఆడిటోరియం, హీ సెట్ there are two paintings, one of Ramayana and the other of Mahabharata, in the storeroom. Send those so that they would be fixed in the auditorium. Till that time, I did not make any attempt of seeing what all are there in those storerooms, because they were fully packed. When Swami told me, I went and I could not locate any pictures there. I went back and told Swami that they are not there.
Swami was in the auditorium?
Swami was in the auditorium.
Personally looking into...
Yes, personally looking into the fixing of the photographs. In those days, he was taking all interest at every step. As I told you, mother looks after the child when it doesn't know anything.
Yes.
At Swami's instructions, I again searched, but it was of no use. Then Swami himself came up and showed two huge boards turned towards the wall and kept.
Which of course went with.
I thought those boards were some construction material.
So you didn't notice?
I was really sad for my lapse. And I learnt a lesson that once we are in charge of a thing, we should be aware of it fully and we should not be negligent even to the slightest extent. One more small incident. I told you, Swami left the duplicate keys of his room with me, saying that I can open his room once a week and so that it can be cleaned. I, along with a few other teachers, used to carry out that work regularly. One week, due to some other pressure of work, we happened to ignore it, thinking that we can do it the subsequent week. That was Sunday afternoon at about 2 p.m. Suddenly, Swami's car came to my house.
You were in the town.
I was staying in the town. Swami's car appeared there. The driver said, Swami is waiting in the college. And he sent the car to bring you. It was like a shock. I immediately went. Swami was sitting in an ordinary chair in the college office. We can't even think of such things nowadays. He said he forgot to bring the keys of his room with him. That is the set he had with him. So I opened his room and requested Swami to give me 2 minutes' time. Swami smiled and said, he came in and said, why? The room is not cleaned, is it? I apologized to him. What else can I do? It was a message that one should be meticulous and punctual at work.
Always prepared.
Yes,
ever
always
ready.
Prepared, ever ready.
For God.
Regarding Swami's affection and kind treatment towards us when we are innocent, I would like to tell you one incident.
Yes.
It was July 1969. The admissions were over. I told you that I was kept in charge of the principal's post. Swami was to visit the college the next day. I didn't even know what to offer him at that time. I didn't know how to receive him. Some people said he would take only milk. And some people said he takes only coffee but not milk. I wasn't having even one silver tumbler with me at Anantapur as I went there with only minimum essentials. Therefore, I took two new stainless steel tumblers. Why I am telling you these details is the simplest possible reception one can give to some hot milk in a thermos flask, a packet of Nescafe, in case Swami likes to take coffee, a few betel leaves and nut powder. In those days, Swami used to take pan. All kept in a plastic basket. I kept this basket on a shelf in principal's room. Swami arrived, spoke to staff and students. Later, he spoke to me for quite some time also, in the principal's room itself. He was sitting in the principal's chair. Swami used to sit in the principal's chair, as we didn't have any special chair for Swami till 1971. Swami was about to leave. In my excitement of all this, I entirely forgot to offer him milk or coffee that I kept for him. Suddenly, Swami went to the shelf where the basket was kept and touched the flask. I inadvertently said, "Oh, Swami, please wait. I forgot." This was the sentence I said. Swami looked at me and smiled. I apologized to Swami for my forgetfulness and asked Swami whether he would like coffee or milk. Swami waited patiently till I made the coffee, and with all mercy, he accepted my first offering.
So he takes coffee.
This is the mother who forgives the innocent child and reminds her duties with love and affection. But as the child progresses in maturity, mother expects her to become more and more perfect in her work. This also I experienced. Why, I'll tell you. During 1985-86, we celebrated a sports meet in our campus. The students and staff worked day and night and made beautiful arrangements. The entire campus was cleaned and decorated. An enchanting stage was also set up in the sports grounds. And really, we ourselves patted our backs for our work. Swami arrived and he was also very happy seeing the campus. He told the then vice chancellor that the students worked with a lot of dedication and devotion and made the campus like a mirror. Swami was taken to the stage in the grounds, and while getting onto the stage, he bent and picked up a tiny paper pin from the carpet spread on the stage. He showed it to me and said, "Nothing happens to me. If the pin hurts the vice chancellor, it won't be good, isn't it?" I had a good lesson. I did not supervise that part of the place. The people who worked there by mistake left it. It escaped everyone's attention. But the omnipresent one has 1,000 eyes or even more eyes. He wants to bring down our ego.
Imagine just a pin, but he noticed it. You must have had a variety of experiences. Some other lessons that you've learned from Swami?
Yes, I remember one more thing. I told you in 1969, November, the foundation stone was laid for the new buildings of the college. And the plans were prepared. During February 1970, the markings were being made on the ground, actually.
Before the construction began.
Swami arrived at the site. Suddenly, he called my husband, who was there in the gathering, and he asked him to pick up a stone, small stone, a pebble. We were wondering, what is it? Incidentally, let me tell you, my husband happened to be the tallest and heftiest person in the whole group there. So he called him. Then Swami asked him to go to the road and throw that stone with all his strength. He threw it. Swami then asked the people who were to do the marking to leave 50 feet from the spot
where the stone fell.
We were amazed at Swami's foresight. He thought even if some miscreants throw the stones during some times of disturbance,
agitations,
etc., the building and the students inside the building should be safe.
Should not be harmed.
They should not be harmed. Forethought. It is so simple,
yes,
but very wonderful, isn't it?
Really. And he made your husband throw it because that must have been the strongest.
The tallest man, hefty, throwing that with all his strength.
Yes.
So,
and then 50 feet after that, he asked them to leave.
Yes. He left a margin of 50 feet even after that.
Yes.
What a wonderful foresight it is.
Really.
Such instances were innumerable. We can go on telling so many things.
Ma'am, did he ever share with you certain instructions that he felt students should follow, certain disciplines also which they need to be taught?
Students and teachers.
Both.
And before going to that, I would like to tell that Swami sets an example. He himself follows the discipline.
Then he expects
the others, and he won't spare the others if they don't follow the discipline. Why I am telling this is, we all know that it is a fact that the founder of any educational institution has a great say in running that institution.
Yes.
Naturally, he influences everything, especially in admissions. But Bhagavan never interfered with these things. He left the entire responsibility of strictly following the rules to the concerned authorities. And when people tried to approach Swami regarding admissions, he used to just tell them, go to the principal. Mm. He wrote a few letters to me in the earlier days to guide me in this regard.
Please read them.
These are the excerpts from Swami's letters again.
Mm-hmm.
Pillala admission vishayamulo nyayaritiga neeku tochinatlu cheyuta chala aanandamu. Parula recommendationlu mana college lo pravesha pettakoodadu.
And that means he followed that principle.
Yes.
He didn't like or didn't want recommendations to be used.
He himself never used to recommend any case.
Yes, of course.
That is. And he never wanted us, he cautioned us not to listen to the recommendations, not to yield to the recommendations of others. Markulanu patti cheyuta manchidi. Adhe naku aanandamu. Admission la vishayamlo nene matramu jokyam gulginchukonu. Andaru navare. Aina, nibandhanalanu anusarinchi meeru meeku tochinatlu edi manchido danini anusarinchavachu. మార్కులను పట్టి చూడండి. ఎవరు నన్ను అడిగినా ప్రిన్సిపాల్ను అడగమని అంటుంటాను. అది సహజం. ఐ విల్ ట్రాన్స్లేట్ దిస్ ఫర్ ద బెనిఫిట్ ఆఫ్ నాన్ తెలుగు స్పీకింగ్ పీపుల్. రిగార్డింగ్ స్టూడెంట్స్ అడ్మిషన్స్, ఐఎమ్ హ్యాపీ దట్ యు ఆర్ గోయింగ్ అకార్డింగ్ టు ద రూల్స్. డోంట్ గివ్ ఎనీ స్కోప్ ఫర్ అదర్స్ రికమెండేషన్స్. ఐఎమ్ హ్యాపీ ఇఫ్ యూ టేక్ మార్క్స్ ఇన్ టు కన్సిడరేషన్ అండ్ గో యాజ్ పర్ మెరిట్. I myself will not interfere in the admissions. All people are mine. When people ask me, I tell them, go and see the principal. That's natural. Do as per rules.
Mm.
This is what he wrote to me.
Mm.
And he expects the teachers to be very, very disciplined, exemplary in their behavior.
Because only then they can command the respect of the students.
He expects the teachers to be like tanks full of water. He says if there is no water in the tank, how does it come into the tap?
Mm.
Teachers should be exemplary in their behavior and they should set an example. They should be dedicated to their work. Both. Though, of course, this is more or less the expectation
everywhere,
yes,
Swami expects them not only to be worthy in their academic knowledge and performance, but in every aspect, because Swami wants the development of the student's overall personality, but not only getting degrees.
Yes.
I would like to read some excerpts from Swami's letters
pertaining to this.
Kramasikshana Vidya Prabodhakulalo Lenidi Vidyarthula Ketlandinturu Vishala Hrudayalato Vidyalayamulalo Viharinsavalasna Viru Swartha Bhavalato Vyardha Pravartanalato Asuya Adambaramulato Dvesha Ragamulato Unnacho పిల్లలలోని క్రమశిక్షణ కూడాను దిగజారిపోవును. తమలో లేని దానిని విద్యార్థులకు బోధించుటకు గురువులు అధికారరహితులు. విద్యా విషయమున అధికారమున్నను ప్రవర్తనలో మా ఆశయాలకు భిన్నముగా ఉన్నచో విద్యార్థులను అదుపులో పెట్టే అధికారము వారికి లేదనే చెప్పవచ్చును. ఆచరణలో పెట్టువారులకే అధికారము. ఐల్ ట్రాన్స్లేట్ దిస్ పోర్షన్. If there is no discipline in the teachers, how do they impart it to the students? Instead of having broad mind and good conduct, if they are with petty minds, selfishness, jealousy, hatred and pomp, the discipline of the students also will be ruined. Such people do not have any authority to teach good things, as they themselves do not practice. Though some people may have high academic achievements, they cannot have command over the students if they don't have good character.
Exactly.
Machunaku, upadhyayulu, gauravaritiga, nadaka, dressu, chupu, navulu, undina, pillalaku kuda cheppi cheyinchavachunu. Varalalone attivi lekunna pillalakemi cheppagalaru. Teachers should set an example in their way of dressing and conduct, like their looks, laughter, walking, etc. And this is all the more important in ladies. Teachers will be deserving honor if they have devotion, tradition and good manners along with their academic education. Mana college lo vidyato patu kontha bhakti, gauravamu, samskara sampradayamulu undinane arhulu. Swami says, if you subtle things about the dressing of girls or ladies. He says, Talalu viriyaboskuni, rakshasulavale leka pishachalavale sancharinsuta naku pattadu.
Very strongly he says,
if the ladies let loose their hair and go about, it doesn't speak good of them. I don't like it. అది గౌరవ స్త్రీకి లక్షణము కాదు.
దట్స్
నాట్ ఎ క్యారెక్టరిస్టిక్ ఆఫ్ ఏ ఆనరబుల్
ఉమన్.
స్త్రీలు ఉత్తమ గృహలక్ష్మి, ఆదర్శ దేవత. అట్టి స్త్రీ వికారపు వేషముతో ఉండుట విద్యా విధానమని తలంచుట ఇంతకంటే అవివేకము వేరొకటి లేదు. ఇఫ్ పీపుల్ థింక్ దట్ ఇట్ ఈస్ ఎ ఫ్యాషన్ ఫర్ ఎడ్యుకేటెడ్ ఉమెన్, ఇట్ ఈస్ ఫూలిష్. ఒంటి నిండా గుడ్డలేని జీవితము మృగలక్షణము. స్వామి సేస్,
మై గాడ్,
ఇట్ ఈజ్ యానిమల్ బిహేవియర్ ఇఫ్ వన్ డజంట్ డ్రెస్ అప్ డీసెంట్లీ. సో స్వామి
ఈజ్ వెరీ స్ట్రాంగ్లీ,
వెరీ స్ట్రాంగ్, అండ్ హీ విల్ నెవర్ టాలరేట్ ఇన్డిసిప్లిన్, ఇమ్మోడెస్టీ డ్రెస్,
ఎస్పెషలీ ఇన్ అ వుమన్. డ్యూరింగ్ ద టైమ్ మ్యామ్ వెన్ యూ ఆర్ అట్ అనంతపూర్, you yourself were telling us about it, Swami must have visited the campus on many occasions. Could you recall for us what the day was like in the college when Bhagwan used to make one of those rare and precious visits to Anantapur?
Oh, those are wonderful moments. Swami used to visit the college. He used to come and stay for 3 or 4 days in the college, and that too frequently in the early years.
3 or 4 days?
At a time. And very frequently he used to come in the beginning, that is,
in 70s, early 70s. His visits gradually were minimized to twice or thrice a year. That too from morning till evening only he used to stay.
He used to come in the morning and leave by evening.
But it is just like being in heaven when Swami was there. Let us imagine a situation where our mother, father and God, all three take one form and come to us. How do we feel? That's the feeling of everyone in the campus.
When Swami came.
Students, teachers, office staff, peons, watchmen, everyone. From the sweeper to the highest. For everyone, he is the goal. He is mine. Not only that, he is ours. Or I am his. Or we are his.
That's the feeling of each and every one
in the campus. All individual souls transforming into a common soul, craving to get united with him. That's the feeling. Everyone was putting in her or his effort to the best capacity to make him happy. It may be cleaning the campus, decorating the campus, or putting up a cultural show or any other thing, irrespective of small or big, whatever work it is. The united goal is to make him happy, which in turn makes us happy.
Yes.
When he arrives, that's the feeling that was only to be experienced, but it cannot be expressed.
In words.
Once, I would like to tell you one thing. Once I happened to ask Swami. Swami was sitting. We were only very few people with him. I asked Swami, what is heaven? The reply Swami gave.
You asked him what is heaven like?
What is heaven like? Swami gave his reply saying, the present state in which you are is itself a heaven.
Oh God.
What a wonderful explanation.
Beautiful.
That is the feeling. And we used to put up varied cultural shows, dramas, exhibitions, puppet shows, burrakathas, music performances, doll shows. I remember, for a Sankranti day, we arranged a doll show to keep the tradition of our culture,
of our country.
We arranged a doll show. Swami enjoyed it.
He came for Sankranti?
Yes, he came for Sankranti.
To Anantapur.
And once I recall that he came for Vinayaka Chaturthi and he performed. I tell you, it was wonderful. I think it was in 1977 or 78. He was the god. He was the priest.
Oh my God.
It was wonderful.
He's rarely out of Puttaparthi for these main festivals.
Yes.
But on that day he graced Anantapur.
He was at Anantapur till evening on a Vinayaka Chaturthi day.
He
got the puja done. He made the students, each and every student, go and put some haldi kumkum on the god Vignesha. It was marvelous. I can never forget that. Same way, for one Sankranti he was there. And we put up a show how the Sankranti festival is celebrated in a village. Swami was very, very happy.
Swami likes the tradition.
Yes. We used to have all these performances. It's a real good memory that we can cherish forever.
Ma'am, I just have to ask you this question because we are talking about how Swami loves tradition and he wants the women to uphold the tradition. because we are the custodians of Indian culture,
sure,
he says.
Sure.
In the context of these pujas and rituals and so on, did you feel at any time that even this culture class that he introduced on Thursdays,
yes,
that there was a purpose behind it? Did he ever talk to you about it or say anything in particular about that culture class? I know that in the college routine, every Thursday is observed, the first hour of every Thursday is observed as culture class. Can you give us a little history about,
sure,
that?
See, Swami wants the students to have the knowledge, I don't say of ritualistic religion, but
no,
the religion in its true sense.
Yes.
What is religion?
What is culture?
What is culture? What's the significance behind following this culture and tradition?
Even the rituals.
Even the rituals. What is the symbolic significance in that? See, these things, this is one aspect, not only Hindu religion, of every religion.
Yes.
Swami, you see, actually, after the university was formed, these things were prescribed in the syllabus as one course.
Yes.
Of course, that is
a separate
issue.
Yes.
But
before that
also, though this was not prescribed as a syllabus because we were following the syllabus of the university to which we were affiliated.
Sri Venkateshwara University, yes.
But Swami loves to have dramas and other cultural shows. Why? Not the so-called obscene cultural shows of today. It's not which are performed in outside world. Taking part in such programs, Swami wants the students to learn many things,
and he wants to bring out their potential.
Yes, potential. And one more thing, to bring out the latent talent in them, in all the arts in a creative way, and one more, nowadays students, we see that though they obtain postgraduate degrees, they are not able to speak in public even for a minute. They can't face the public. Swami wants the students to be able to express their opinions outside. And I'll tell you in this regard one more aspect. Swami invariably used to come at least once before the end of the academic year.
Oh.
And give a valedictory address to the outgoing students.
Mm-hmm.
His valedictory discourses given to these final year students, outgoing students, they are really very, very valuable.
Mm.
One main point he used to stress is that the girls are responsible not only for one house, they are responsible to bring a good name to their parents' home as well as to the home where they go
when they get married.
Swami used to say that there should be good mothers, good daughters first, good sisters, good wives, and then good mothers, so that they can give to the society very responsible and good citizens. This is what Swami expects of every woman. Swami quotes about Jijiyabai. Swami quotes about the mythological characters like Sita, Draupadi, our Puranic characters.
He generally says that he doesn't care about marks, but one should not get
remarks.
And he is very particular that women should not get remarks.
Yes, once the woman gets a remark, he says her life is doomed.
Mm. Did he say at any time, if I remember well, that he has put so much of energy and funds, he has put so much of his time into this whole project, educational project as a whole. And if he could get even 10 students that come up to his expectations, he shall feel that.
I told you in the beginning
itself. He would have done his, his
vision
was
fulfilled. He never cares for the numbers.
Yeah.
But he cares for the quality.
He wants his students.
Because I think he's given his lion's share of his time to the students.
Yes. Because he wants the students to be the torchbearers of tomorrow's society. Mm. And in this context about girl students you are asking, see, once there is a remark in her character, Swami never likes such things. See, that's why he separated the girls' campus from the men's campus.
Mm.
And once he wrote to me, some people, without the knowledge of our elders, some younger teachers or some students went to Whitefield. Swami wrote a letter to me. See that they don't come individually like this. If you people bring them in a group, it's okay. But don't send them alone.
Mm.
That brings a bad name.
So he's very
He's very particular. So he never, even now, the PG classes, which involve a lot of expenditure, he separated it for the girls and from the boys. He didn't club it. So he cares for the character.
Swami says end of education is character.
Because he doesn't care anything before. See, the character is very, very important.
So it's not information-oriented education, character-building education.
Yes, all value-oriented education.
Yes.
See, the University Grants Commission talks of value-oriented education, but it is seen practically in Swami's institution only.
Yes. Finally, ma'am, in a few words, what does Bhagwan mean to you? Who is Bhagwan, according to you?
Very good question. Let me narrate one beautiful shloka from Sivananda Lahari. Jagatguru Adishankara says, Yogakshe madhurandharasya bhavata sakala shreya pradodyogino drushta drushta matopadesha krutino bahyantaravyapinaha sarvajnasya dayakarasya bhavata kim veditavyam maya shambho tvam paramantarangamiti me chitte smaramyanvaham. He says, O Lord Shiva, you are the one who looks after the welfare of everyone, of this entire universe. You are the one who are the well-wisher of everyone. You are the teacher who teaches us directly and indirectly. Drushta drushta matopadesha krutinaha bahyantaravyapinaha. You are outside us. You are inside us. Sarvajnasya dayakarasya. You are the all-knowing person, all-knower. And you are the most merciful one, compassionate one. How do I know, O Lord, that you are like this? Shambho, then he gives the answer. Tvam paramantarangamiti me chitte smaramyanvaham. In my heart of hearts, I should meditate upon this. I should go on churning my feelings like this. Then I will know what you are.
Okay.
We should go on thinking of him, meditating upon him. The same thing applies to our Swami, to us. We should go on thinking of him, meditating upon him. He is the same teacher who teaches us. Teaches us means he is not a routine teacher who comes to the class and teaches to the students. We have to learn things from him
by observation.
By observing at every step,
His every word, His every action, His every movement, His every look
is a teaching.
Is a teaching. It conveys a message. Hi, look to Swami like this. I always remember this great verse of Adi Shankara.
You feel it fits in perfectly. Yes,
perfectly it fits in Swami.
When we want to describe Swami.
And Swami, as I told you, as I have been telling you, He molded my personality. He made me what I am today. And in this context, I take a few minutes. I will narrate one more incident. As a person, not as an administrator, as a person, I tell you how Swami made my education useful for His mission. I was originally having good aptitude towards literature, that too specially Telugu literature. Somehow it appealed to me. Being a science student till undergraduate level, I specialized in Telugu literature by my own choice, but not because of not getting seat in any other subject. I chose teaching profession also out of my liking, but I never knew that through this profession, I would be blessed to come close to Bhagavan.
And serve Him.
My academic study, I never knew that it would be culminated into a fruitful cause. One day, in 1976, Swami told me that I should give a lecture on Mahabhagavata during the coming summer course on Indian culture and spirituality.
That is at Ooty summer
course. Yes, it was held at Ooty. I immediately asked Swami whether it would be in English or Telugu. Swami replied that it is in English, and I was a little hesitant. I thought it would be difficult to speak about a Telugu scripture in a foreign language. But Swami wished it that way. That year summer course, we went to Ooty. On the day I was supposed to speak, I was sitting in one corner just waiting for the classes to begin. Suddenly, Swami came there. Standing in front of me, Swami said, in English. Swami spoke to me in English.
Yes.
Saying, language is not important. Language of the heart is important. Mm. So saying, he proceeded ahead. With this simple but profound statement, Swami gave me the strength, I feel, to speak about Telugu scriptures and Sanskrit scriptures in English language. I think there is no need to say that the talk was very much appreciated. After all, who spoke? It is He and He alone. From then onwards, Swami made me speak regularly on different scriptures in English. I felt that Swami has blessed me with this ability, so that the students who do not know Telugu can also have the benefit of imbibing the values from our great scriptures. This is regarding my personal career.
Yes.
Not as an administrator, but I found
a fulfillment
of my education.
Yes.
From the time I entered into His fold, of course, Bhagavan, the Bhakta Rakshana Parayana, has been looking after us, the entire family. He took care of every little aspect of my personal life, so that He made me spend all my 31 years in His institution. See, I
I could spend and I could dedicate my time to the institution.
So he did your work so that you could do his work.
Yes, in a way it is like that.
Because he took care of everything.
Yes, he took care of everything. He, the most merciful Lord, enabled me to travel in the journey of this life safely. Of course, I do pray that he would continue to bless me throughout this life.
Thank you very much, ma'am, for taking time off your busy schedule and coming here. It was wonderful talking to you. Thank you very much.
It's my pleasure.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram, dear listener, what you just heard was the second and the concluding part of a conversation with Professor Mrs. Hemalatha, the former principal of the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, Anantapur campus. And in conversation with her was Dr. Rajeshwari Patel. Dear listener, you could email us your feedback as always to listener@radiosai.org. You could also WhatsApp us to this number, 9393258258. With this, we come to the end of this morning's segment, Divine Glory on Thursday Live from Prashanthinilam. It's me, Team Radio Sai Sunil, signing off, offering this segment at the Divine Lotus Feet of our dear Lord Sai. At 11:30, Bishu will join you with his segment, Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. Thank you for staying tuned, and Jai Sai Ram.
Thank you. कृपावंत हो प्रभु गुण ग्राहक प्रसाद हाथी घे
सद्गुरु ब्रह्म सनातन हे सद्गुरु ब्रह्म सनातन हे घन पावन हे परम दया घन पावन हे जन्म जदुख विनाशन हे जन्म जदुख विनाशन हे जगदोद्धारण कारण रतन हे। सोहम ध्यान करो, ध्यान करो
सद्गुरु साई, ध्यान करो
सद्गुरु साई, ध्यान करो
सद्गुरु साई, ध्यान करो
सोहम सोहम ध्यान करो।
श्री गुरु प्रति वासा
श्री गुरु प्रति वासा
श्री गुरु प्रति वासा
श्री गुरु प्रति वासा
साई ब्रह्मा विष्णु महेशा
साई ब्रह्मा विष्णु
विष्णु महेशा
ब्रह्मा विष्णु महेशा
श्री गुरु पति वासा
श्री गुरु पति
Thank you.